Okay, friends, I'm going to invite you to return to your seats. Sorry for the little bit of a delay there. I was waiting to see if these guys would come in, but looks like they're almost done. But Marco said to me, Ben, you should start. So just one announcement before we just move into our message here. Of course, you know that we have this prayer and fasting that we are getting into this coming Wednesday. I'll say more about that in the message, but just as a reminder as well that there's a prayer time that we're going to kick this off with on Wednesday at our church office here downtown, 7 o'clock. Bring a chair, and if you need directions, let me know. Also, Hope Mission got back to us and gave us some new updated drawings, updated proposal that looks like it has met the sort of legal requirements that we had put in place. I don't know if there was going to be a picture of that up there or not, but so it does look like it meets the agreement that we have in place, and it's interesting timing here that we're about to go into a time of prayer and fasting and have this put in front of us. So we're going to send out the drawings. That's just the exterior, obviously, but we'll send out the document that has the floor plan as well. It's very similar to the last one that we sent out. If you were reviewing that one, it's just that the worship space has been made larger. But feel free to peruse that and share your feedback. We will send out a way of for you to provide feedback, and that will be part of our fasting time. So we'll talk more about that as well, that as you are praying and fasting, you can be sharing what you believe the Lord is saying to you. The procedure of where this goes from here is that we're praying and fasting. We're doing that for a week. We're going to spend some time listening. Then we're going to gather your feedback. The council is then going to meet to share what we believe we are hearing from the Lord and talk more about our sense of the Lord's leading in all of this. And then we will be responding to Hope Mission. The game plan is what they're asking for is a response from us by January the 26th, which is a Monday. They have a board meeting that night. What they're requiring from us is something saying, yes, we're ready to move forward. And they want it in writing. And then what would happen is they would take that to their board, and it's their board that then has final say on moving forward because, of course, it's their building. They're paying for it, that kind of thing. So you can sort of, that's a rough overview of the process and some of the next things in front of us. And it's all stuff for you to pray about as we enter into this time of prayer and fasting. Okay? All right. Lord, we once again continue to welcome you to this place. Would you have your way in hearts and minds? Would you have your way in my heart, my mind, and the words that come out of my mouth? May they honor you and honor the people listening. Honor your work, your call. May they be in step with your spirit. May we be in step with your spirit. Draw us closer to yourself. Sensitize us to your voice, to your presence, to your movements, to your work, and to your heart. Would you guide us through this time? I pray that you would enliven the scriptures to us. I pray that they would come alive. I pray that we would recognize your voice in them and your call to us and the many, many different ways that you show your love and ask us to show our love in return. Thank you that we can love you because you first loved us. And we rest in that. And as we talk about a way that we show you love, it's not to earn it. It's out of a place of gratitude for all that you have done for us. So Lord, would you have your way through this time? In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going into this time of fasting, and as I was preparing for it, I was just thinking through all of the different scriptures that talk about fasting, and it just hit me afresh. There's a lot of fasting that happens in the Bible. There's a lot of talk about fasting in Scripture, and I want to give you just like a quick survey of that. And where we should start is with Jesus, right? Probably a good plan. And does Jesus' ministry not start with fasting, right? He's baptized, and then what does he do? He goes out into the wilderness, and he starts fasting for 40 days. Setting a good example for us, I think. He will later go on and teach, and he will just assume that those who follow him will fast. He says in the Sermon on the Mount, not if you fast, when you fast. Jesus assumes that his followers will practice the spiritual discipline of fasting. I need to align my life with Jesus' assumptions, right? Furthermore, he will say to his disciples, you remember that time where he says to them, there are some Pharisees that come and they criticize him, why aren't your disciples fasting like John the Baptist's disciples? And he says, because I'm here, but when I leave, they will fast. We're in that period of time, right? Let me remind you of other places where fasting happens. Do you remember when Saul, who will later be called Paul, encounters Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus has some rebukes for him and some instructions? The very next thing Saul does after he loses his sight is fast. He fasts for 3 days from both food and water. He's that serious about needing to reorient his entire life around what just happened, who Jesus is, and what he has said to him. In similar dire circumstances, Esther does the same thing. You remember the story of Esther? She's a queen, and she needs to go make a request to the king, but the king has a policy that if you're not invited, you are not welcome, and you approach at the risk of your own head. If you come uninvited to the king, you're taking your life into your hands. And Esther knows that and says, I need to go to the king, but he hasn't called me. So she says to her uncle, call everyone you know, do a 3-day fast, no food, no water. Because it needed to happen. Right? Ezra, when he and the other exiles in Babylon are ready to return to to Jerusalem and make a very long journey, which was very dangerous, travel in the ancient world was very dangerous, they call a fast and they ask God for protection and favor for the journey because they're at a turning point and they needed God to show up. Nehemiah. When Nehemiah has this incredible burden from the Lord, he's in this position where he's like, I've got it made. He's like not second in command, but like one of the king's advisors and on his team kind of thing. But he has this burden from the Lord that I have to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. And he doesn't know what to do with it. So he starts praying and fasting in order that God would give him favor with the king. And when he does, God does. And the king says, oh, you want to go? Sure. How much money do you need? And how long will you be gone? He answers those prayers in really big ways. And fasting becomes part of the preparation for that. Daniel, when Daniel is waiting, I need answers. I need breakthrough. He does it more than once. They go on fasts. Right? Chapter 1, chapter 9, chapter 10. And the answers and the breakthrough come. But fasting is a crucial part of it. Nineveh. Jonah says, you guys are hooped. 40 days and this place is going to be overthrown. And Nineveh calls a fast. No food, no water. We're calling out for mercy. And they get it. God changes the plans and does not do what he said he would do. as I reviewed this stuff and I was drafting an email to send out, which is going to come out later on today, which is about fasting and hope mission plans and all that. As I was drafting that this week, it suddenly struck me. Fasting is necessary. Fasting is necessary. Not only because of Jesus, right? That would be enough to say it's necessary. But just think about it. Is fasting fun? Have you ever fasted? Okay, it's not fun, right? Who would fast if it was not necessary? Who would do this? There's something about it that you realize in times of need, I need breakthrough from God. I need guidance. I need direction. I need provision. You'll know you're serious and you know you need it when you start fasting. It's necessary at times. If it were not necessary, no one would have fasted. Fasting is necessary. And we need to fast now. At this time, Unity Baptist Church. Okay? Let me tell you why. In June, do you remember back in May, June, we were working through the book of 1 Samuel. And as we came to the end of the book of 1 Samuel, we noticed that God put David into a holding pattern. He'd been given the promise of you will be king, yet he was currently operating outside of the kingdom while there's another king on the throne and no plan to move forward. God's given him a promise and basically told him to wait. And we started noticing, hey, God's got us in something similar here. It seems like God has us in this period of waiting. And we started talking about a period of waiting. I shared that in a sermon one Sunday. And then I went off to prepare for the AGM meeting, our annual general meeting. And as I always try to do, I try to listen for, Lord, what are your directions? What do you want to say? And how do I frame the ministry of Unity Baptist within the larger context of what are you saying and doing here, Lord? Because as much as we can run Sunday services and hold prayer meetings, if we're not in step with what God is saying and doing, then we're missing the point. And so I'm seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, what do I say about what you are saying to us right now? And he said, tell them to wait. It's like, he didn't say, Ben, tell them to wait. It was like the impression of the word wait that just, it's there. It's like catching a bubble. Right? It's light. It's a delicate thing. And it takes time to learn how to do that, but it can be done. So I think I'm hearing the Lord say, tell them to wait. So I'm jotting down some notes about that. And I finished doing what I'm doing related to that. And I open up my email. And I get an email from someone with the subject line, waiting. That came at the same time I heard from the Lord, tell them to wait. And in the email, it references the sermon I had just shared the week or two before about how I think God has us in this period of waiting. And the person writing the email says, yeah, that's it. And here's how I know. Well, now I know I heard from God. I have independent confirmation of that, right? And so I've already shared this story a number of times. It's like you've heard it two or three times, a lot of you. That was at the AGM. Right after that, Hope Mission came to us with new plans, didn't they? And we went through that whole thing this summer while I was on vacation, right? You explored this new potential option, which didn't come to pass. And then fast forward, we have another congregational meeting coming up in November, which just happened, right? And as I'm preparing for that meeting, Lord, what do you want me to say? And I think I once again hear the word, wait. I'm like, well, that continues to line up because I haven't seen anything change. It appears that we are still in that waiting period, and I share that with the congregation. I think he's telling us to wait. And then a couple of weeks later, we shared this story just a couple weeks ago in the service. Like a week or two after this semi-annual meeting where I share, like we're still in this period of waiting, God sends our Sunday night street ministry group out and makes us wait in the cold for an incredibly long time. And it was so clear God had put us at that spot. Three different people heard three different things that all dropped a pin on a map that said, stay here. But we didn't know what to do. And it was so cold. It was so frustrating how long we had to wait there as the chilling wind was just freezing us. And we weren't really sure if we'd actually got it right, not as far as where we should be, but if we should still be there. Maybe we'd missed what we were there for. And then finally, after waiting for an incredibly long time, the person we were waiting for showed up. And it was really cool. But I left that time thinking, why did we have to wait for so long? What was the point? Because I've seen God line appointments up where like 5 or 10 or 20 seconds difference and like you miss it. I've seen that happen many times out on the streets when God sends us somewhere. So why on earth did we have to wait when it's freaking cold outside? And I wrestled with that question. And Joel said to us the next day, because that was a sign for our church, Ben. We're in this period of waiting. And suddenly I had the answer. That's right. We're still in this period of waiting. I just shared it. God just confirmed it independently again. And then what happens? Hope Mission brings us new plans again. It's like deja vu. We are told to wait. We share that we're told to wait because we have independent evidence from God. You've been told to wait, and Hope Mission shows up with new plans again. I'm confused by that. I'm not presenting this to you as though I have an answer for that. I'm presenting this to you because I don't have an answer for that. Fasting is necessary. Do you see that now? At that semi-annual meeting in November, as we shared some updates around Hope Mission, Kevin Bender spoke up and said to us, I was just reading Acts 13. We need to fast about this. We need to fast and pray about it. Yep. Let's look at Acts 13. I'm only reading the first three verses, starting at actually the last verse of chapter 12. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. They returned to Antioch, and that's where it's now going to talk about. Antioch's a different city, different region. They're returning to the church there. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. So this is probably their leadership team. Barnabas, Simon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who'd been brought up with Herod, and Saul, who's also called Paul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So, after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. If you read the whole story in context, this is a really unexpected word. The reason being that when it talks about how Barnabas and Saul had just finished their mission and come back to Antioch from Jerusalem, this was a months or maybe even year or more long mission trip, huge fundraising effort between all of the churches in Paul's vast network in order to support the church in Jerusalem that's currently going through a famine. So when it talks about their mission, this wasn't a two-week mission trip that they returned from and they're just debriefing it. They returned from something that was extensive. Right? And we'll get more into that when we get there. But the point of it is, they just return. They're unpacking what just happened with their leadership team. They're worshiping and praying and thanking God. And God gives them new instructions that are out of the blue and says, change of plans. Here's now what you do. They'd return to their home church. And God says, I know you just got back, but set apart for me, Saul and Barnabas, new mission, new work. Here you go. And what I want you to notice in this passage is that that word from the Lord came while they were worshiping and fasting. Fasting is necessary. And it's in those times of fasting that you notice God speaking. Let me talk about how to fast. We're just going to get really practical here. First of all, what is fasting? Fasting is giving up something good, right? For a set period of time in order to seek the Lord. So it's not giving up something sinful, all right? Like, that's just obedience, okay? That's just loving Jesus. I'm gonna do what you want me to do, and I'm not going to do what you don't want me to do because I love you. Right? That's just love and obedience. That's all that is. That's not fasting. Fasting is giving up something God has given you, something that is good for a set period of time because you're seeking something better from Him. That's what fasting is. Fasting ought to become uncomfortable. It ought to cost. Think of that line from David. Now, he's not talking about fasting. I'm applying it to that. But David, do you remember at one point David says, should I bring God an offering that costs me nothing? Think about that as it relates to fasting. It's a form of worship and you're offering God something. It should cost. You should feel it. Okay? Now, normally, fasting is going without food for a set period of time while continuing to drink water. And I did point out there are a couple of examples in Scripture where people do actually give up water for shorter periods of time as well. I'm going to say, just for us, that's advanced material, okay? You start with food, okay? If you can. If you're new to fasting as a whole, you might just want to start by fasting a meal, all right? And then go to two meals. Extend it out as you start to develop the ability to do it, and it takes some time. Okay, if you have been regularly fasting, you know we've been fasting, calling the people to fast as a church every Thursday. Pray for our church. Pray for revival. Pray for the Spirit. And if that's been part of your rhythm, so you're used to fasting, then maybe you can take it to 2 days. Maybe you can go a little further. I know like Kevin did, 13 days or something like that? But he'd worked his way up as well. So don't jump into a five-day fast or don't go water-free for 3 days if you're new to fasting. A few disclaimers. If you have diabetes, if you're on medication, or if you have other conditions, you might be limited in what you can fast. You might not be able to fast meals or go a day without food. Don't ignore the limitations that are actually in place and expect God to make up for your lack of wisdom. Okay? And you're not off the hook. Okay? Because there are a lot of other things that you can fast that are not... that don't involve giving up whole meals or going whole days without food. Go vegan. I did that for more than a month, a year ago or so. It was highly unpleasant to be really, like, really honest with you, like, it cost, right? I don't love vegetables to begin with, so this was, like, not awesome. But it cost, right? You could do that, right? You could give up all media. I mean, we're calling a fast for a week, right? Like, you're not going to die if you don't get the latest news for a week, but it, you'll feel it probably if that's part of your regular consumption. You could fast some sleep. You don't need 9 hours of sleep every single night. Try it. I know, but try it. Try going a few days and you get up, you pray until you fall asleep and you get up early. Try it. Try fasting caffeine, right? And feel the headache and then be convicted that maybe I'm a little more dependent. You could fast all your free time. You could devote all your free time to God for the next week. Try it. Confession time. I was deeply convicted after the Blue Jays finished the playoffs and how much time I found to spend watching playoff baseball. Like, suddenly I was able to rearrange my life to be in front of that tube for, I mean, those are long games, and I watched that one game right to the end. Right? And what did I sacrifice for that? Okay? Playoffs were a lot longer than this fast I'm calling. You could do a pleasure fast, as in giving up everything that you actually really enjoy. Because we grab things for comfort, right? And the point of this is that you're supposed to feel the discomfort and then turn to Jesus and say, I need you more, I want you more, and I need you now to provide what I'm currently lacking because I reached for this before. There's one caveat related to that one. I'm going to leave it for the email. Check the email. Tip, if you are in a family, you might want to involve your kids and your spouse for two reasons. One, for the sake of discipleship and prayer. Two, because if you don't, you're likely to sabotage one another. Okay? You decide you're going to go vegan for the week, but you're not the one responsible for cooking or grocery shopping. You're going to end up sabotaging each other. Or if you decide, I'm dedicating all my free time to God, but the other spouse or kids in the house have certain expectations, you're going to need to plan this stuff together just so you don't sabotage one another in the process, right? So include one another in this. Now, when you feel it, when the discomfort starts to come, whether it's hunger pains or I would really like to check my, name your social media or whatever. When you feel it, that's the time to lean into God. And it's going to take effort. When you feel it, someone else is going to come knocking. What happened when Jesus started fasting? Who showed up? The enemy showed up. What was the first thing the enemy said to him? Turn stones into bread, which is break your fast. He's fasting. The first thing that's going to happen to you is that someone's going to start knocking and give you a reason to stop your fast. Could you please recognize that for what it is? Fasting has spiritual power that threatens the enemy. Have you thought about that? You don't want to break that fast, right? But that temptation will come. That temptation will come in another form as well. I call it pivoting, or maybe exchanging. It's like you give up one thing, but then all you do is you take that desire and you feed it somewhere else. You just pivot a little bit. What would be an example? You give up sugar, or say you go vegan, right? You give up vegan, and suddenly, like, Cobb's bread fresh bread, it just becomes so good. Like you will feel it and you'll be tempted to pivot and say, I have a craving and I can't get this craving this way, so I'm going to indulge it this way. Notice the pivot. You might still continue the fast in a sense if you eat an entire loaf of Cobb's bread, but you're going to miss out on some of the spiritual benefit of learning the discipline of pivoting to Jesus rather than trying to feed something that's sort of the same thing in a new way. I think, do you get that? Sort of, does that kind of make sense? Right? You might, I found this before, you give up all social media, but then suddenly my Amazon shopping list just started, like my wish list just grew because I've noticed like I'm still scrolling on my phone. I'm just feeding that addiction in a new way, right? Notice those things and then attempt to redirect. We've talked about this one before when we've talked about fasting. Your sinful nature will show up in the form of what we call hangry. Right? And you will notice I'm not an awesome person when I fast. And sometimes it'd be better if I stay upstairs a little longer than if I go downstairs because I will be triggered more than normal and have less patience. My family has noticed when I fasted before. I'm still growing in this, right? It's going to show up. Be prepared for it and plan ahead. But all that to say, you'll know it's a legitimate fast, whatever it is that you choose to fast, when you feel it. Okay. If it costs you nothing, it's probably not a fast. Now, as you fast, make more time to read scripture and pray. I was in a conversation with someone the other day who's not part of our church, and they were asking me for some advice on where could I go in scripture to read on this particular topic because they're experiencing something difficult. And he already had given me a number of scriptures that he'd been diving into, so he already knew some of the basic ones. So actually my response to him was more like, just read more. Like if you read more with like a hunger and a sensitivity, like stuff will just pop. And you'll notice more stuff will pop out for you. More stuff will jump off the page when you're fasting. You will. Try it. Okay? Just read slowly, read for longer, and read till something jumps out. Make prayer a big part of fasting. If you're not praying while you're fasting, we're wasting time, honestly. Prayer and fasting go hand in glove. Pray for your needs, of course. Pray to lay down your wants. When you don't know what to pray, pray in tongues if that's your gift. Pray worship, sing your worship, give thanks. Just make your gratitude lists and just recite them to the Lord again and again. But particularly for us in this time, pray prayers that are not my will, but yours be done. And the prayers that lead you in that direction, where we lay down our desires, our wills, we hold this thing with open hands and say, what do you have, Lord? Not my will, but yours be done. Okay? David says in Psalm 35, I humbled myself with fasting. Let fasting produce humility in you. Humility is one of the ways that we get to, not my will, but yours be done. It's a lot easier to do that if we're humbling ourselves in the process. Do you want to know how to help humble yourself? Pray confessions. Make your confessions to the Lord. I've been praying. Because I started this fast, at least beginnings of mine, the beginning of January. And the Lord gave me Psalm 32. So I've been praying Psalm 32 every day, and I've been chewing on it a little bit. Psalm 32 is a psalm of confession. But in that psalm of confession, it also talks about how the Lord leads the psalmist. And there's a really interesting link there between those two concepts. It's easier for the Lord to lead me when I'm making my confessions and laying down my will and humbling myself. Does that make sense? Right? Psalm 32 will say, I will instruct you in the ways that you should go. God will provide instruction. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. God will give me counsel. Next line. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which must be controlled, that do not have understanding. Horse and the mule that must be controlled by a bit and a bridle, or they will not come near you. God does not want us to be people that he has to physically direct. Okay? He does not want us to be people that he has to steer with a lot of control. He wants to have a relationship with us where he guides us by instruction and counsel, and even with his eye. In other words, we're paying such close attention to God that we can tell what he's saying. Can you tell? Do you have someone in your life that you can read their facial expressions and you know what they're thinking? That's the picture. I want that level of sensitivity to the Lord and his instructions and his guidance and his direction. I don't want to have to be controlled by God. He doesn't want that. He wants an interactive relationship where I know his heart and am so close to him and recognize his voice that I can hear his counsel, I can receive his instruction, and I can tell by looking at him that this is what he is saying. And it comes as we offer confession and humble ourselves. Along those lines, there's a senior leader in our association of churches, and he told me once that he went on a prayer retreat, and all he did for that entire prayer retreat was pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High God, have mercy on me, the sinner. That's humbling yourself. I think he'll direct us if we do. As you're doing all this, listen in prayer. Listen and make notes. Make notes on what you think the Lord is speaking to you. Make notes on what jumps out from Scripture, and then pray that stuff back to God and have a conversation about it. And then make notes on what you think he's saying in conversation about it. If you do that, you'll have more to share with the council when we send out something saying, what have you been hearing from God during our time of fasting? As it relates to this Hope Mission thing, as it relates to, I told you to wait, because I can't put those pieces together. I need clarity and I need direction. I had a dream the other night. Believe it was from the Lord. I was sharing it with my dad. I'm not going to share the dream right now, but I was sharing it with my dad, and his response was, I don't think you're going to get the answer for that until you fast. Fasting is necessary. Right? And I believe that if we go through this time of fasting faithfully, he will speak. What did Acts 13 say? While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, God spoke the next word to them. I think we can go into it with that kind of expectation of the Lord. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We're not doing this at all to earn your favor. What more favor could you possibly offer us than making us your children? So it's as your children that we come. We're not earning this relationship with you. Thank you for the relationship. We're doing this out of obedience. We're doing this to be like Jesus. We're doing this because it's a time that seems pretty clear to us that this is actually necessary. And I pray that you would guide us in confession during this time. I pray you would sensitize us to your voice. I pray that there would be new levels of revelation that people would get. I pray that scripture would jump off the page to some. I pray that there would be new words that would flow in prayer. I pray that there would be new times in prayer where the impression comes and you know that was the Lord. He's speaking in a still, soft voice, but I've humbled myself, and I'm in a position now to hear like I wasn't before when I was busy and distracted and feeding various appetites. Lord, I pray that we would draw near in humility. I pray that we would hold every plan of ours and every ambition, however godly it is, I pray we'd hold them all with open hands and say, not my will, but yours be done. We work for you. And we're desperate, Lord. And you know that. And I trust you. Guide us in this time. Help us to be faithful. You are awesome, Lord. I worship you. It's all about you. It's not about me. I pray that through this time of fasting, we would empty ourselves. I would empty myself. Like John the Baptist said, I just pray we make that one of our prayers. He must increase, I must decrease. Jesus, you must increase in my life. The parts that are just been, I pray that they go down and down and down. Because you are good. And because I need you. We need you. And I go into this time with a sense of anticipation because you're someone I can trust. Lord, would you bless us and guide us for your sake? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship. He is great, and you will experience it as you fast. You will experience that he is worth it. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit carry you through this week, carry you through the fasting, and fill you to overflowing. Amen. Blessings, friends. Anyone wants to chat or pray, happy to do that. Have a great week.